Thanks for joining us today on CC and Doc Talk, where we talk about everything under the sun. You never know quite what you're going to get, but you'll always be entertained. Hello, everyone. CC here. In our book, Courageous Money, we talk about something called a life falls event. And a life falls event is when life happens, when shit happens that you can't control, that you have no idea is coming, and it just sort of comes out of the blue and turns your life completely upside down.
Something that you weren't expecting, something that now you have to adjust and do things differently. And especially because Courageous Money and the journey through Money National Park is all about the relationship with money, these life falls have an impact on how you operate with your money as well.
Right.
So, but let's focus on the life falls in our world.
So we recently experienced a life falls event that we are now choosing to share with you to go public with. And up until now, it's been something that has been kept between us and friends and family. But we feel very strongly that by sharing our news, that we can ultimately help somebody else. We can help others feel comfortable with these situations. Maybe we can use our experience, strength, and hope and in order to help others along their path and their journey. So I will share that 3 months ago, I was shockingly and surprisingly diagnosed with rectal cancer. I have a 4-inch tumor at the bottom of my rectum, sitting above my bladder. I may have one lymph node involved. So in cancer terms, it's not an early stage cancer. It's not stage 4, but it is stage 3. And so we immediately set out on an aggressive path of cure. And so I have already started treatment. I've already completed radiation. I did a short course radiation called IMRT. And I literally did 25 days of radiation in 5 days, if you can imagine that, and with all the fun side effects that come as a part of that. And my side effects were actually atypical. So I did have some extreme side effects. I've already started chemo. I've gone through a couple of rounds of chemo, and I'm coming up on my third. So we're starting to learn how to navigate all these things. I will be having surgery to remove and resection that part of my rectum. In probably around the June timeframe, if chemo and everything else goes the way that it's supposed to. And then they will give me a temporary stoma, which means I get to poop out of my stomach for a while. And then eventually, as long as I still have enough left of my rectum and the parts that I need to be able to go normally, they will reconnect and I will not end up with a permanent stoma. And so while that is a mouthful of information to share, one of the reasons why we are sharing this is because there is such a stigma to cancer in your butt. What's up your butt? There is such a stigma. Like, everybody talks about breast cancer. Nobody has any issues talking about breast cancer. We talk about
lung
it all
cancer,
the time.
Lung cancer.
But anytime something touches your butt, people don't want to talk about it. And unfortunately, as a result of that, that means people don't do what they're supposed to in terms of getting the right routine care and all of those things that can help prevent it. Now, I will say, Amy and I did everything we were supposed to do in terms of getting routine care, and I still got cancer. And
what do you mean by that, though?
Well, they call this a spontaneous occurrence, but 2 years ago, I had a colonoscopy that was clear. I was cleared for 5 years. I didn't need another colonoscopy. And it wasn't until I noticed blood in my stool, actually mucus in my stool first, and then blood in my stool, that we finally realized that there was a problem. Although at the time we were moving into our new home, which actually has 3 floors, and we were doing all the moving ourselves because of COVID and lifting heavy furniture up over our heads. So I actually thought I had hemorrhoids before I realized that there was actually something else going on, and we started down the path of trying to diagnose what it was. And even at the time, my doctors thought it was gonna be ulcerative colitis. They thought it was gonna be IBS. No one ever thought that I would have cancer. And so they call this a spontaneous occurrence, and I don't have an immediate family history of cancer of this type. Actually, I don't really have a lot of cancer in my family at all. And so it was quite the surprise. And what I found out is that like 5% of colorectal cancers are really hereditary, and the rest are this spontaneous occurrence, and they're happening more and more. 1 in 8 people will get colorectal cancer. And they say now 1 in 3 people will have cancer of some type in their lifetime. So here I am taking one for the team.
Yikes.
So needless to say, this just put our world in a tailspin. At that point, we were healthy, happy, thriving. You know, I had all this fabulous blood work to prove how healthy I was. And we were so happy in our new little home on the range that we call CC and Docs on the Rocks out here in the middle of nowhere in Southern Colorado. And so it really did just turn our lives completely upside down.
And one thing that I want to point out is, and by the way, thank you for sharing all of this. I know it's a personal journey and you kind of had to ramp yourself up to when do you want to go public with this?
Right.
And there is a stigma, not only with just having cancer, but then all of a sudden this colon, you know, first it's like colon cancer, but then the surgeon goes, we're going to re-diagnose this as rectal cancer. And then you have to come to terms with, oh my gosh, it's rectal cancer, but is that better than anal cancer? You know, I mean, who wants to use these terms?
There right? is no good cancer.
Right? You know, because they say, you know, when you have colon cancer, there's 3 feet of colon and you have to do resections more than once. You can. And so it's not as big of a deal. With rectal cancer, there's only 12 inches of rectum.
No, 8 to 10, actually.
Okay, and your tumor's
four inches.
So they, and it's, now the good news is it's up towards the colon side versus the other end, the anal end.
It's a little higher up.
Yeah. It's higher up. I don't know the correct terminology, so I'm using what people can
relate to. It's closer to my sigmoid colon than it is to my anus.
Okay.
Yes.
And so that's good news. At least
nobody even likes the word anus. Even saying that word makes you go ooh.
You know, and even you know our icon from many years ago, Charlie's Angels, died of anal cancer, and nobody really wants to talk about
Farrah Fawcett.
Farrah Fawcett. Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't mention the name. Farrah Fawcett. How can I not mention her name? I actually saw her in an airport back in the 70s, and we were on our way to Hawaii as a youngsters, and she came through the airport with the flight delays, and all of a sudden there was just entourage of people. It was mayhem because she walked through the airport. So anyhow.
Beautiful woman, beautiful soul, lost way too soon.
Yep,
because she ignored the signs.
She did ignore the signs. And you know, who wants to tell their doctor even, hey, I got blood coming out my butt. And so, you know,
it is a little embarrassing. I mean, I remember when I first told my you know, my primary care person, I'm like, well, I got this thing going on and I'm not sure what it is. And, you know, remember it's kind of started as this wet flatulence, you know, and I was like, I think something I'm eating is causing something weird. And
then, I got liquid farts going on.
it really is. It's, you know, it starts out embarrassing, but then you realize that if you don't talk about it, it just continues to re-stigmatize it. And, you know, not only is it therapeutic for us to be able to talk about it, but I really believe that us sharing it publicly, it makes it therapeutic for others as well and makes it easier for us to share with others. I mean, a couple of years ago when we did that colonoscopy that we were talking about, we did a hashtag colonoscopy party. If you look on our Instagram at CC and Doc, you go to hashtag colonoscopy party.
It shows both of us side by side in the hospital beds.
Prepping, doing the prep and everything for our colonoscopy because Amy actually has a family history of colon cancer.
I do.
Doc has a family history. And so we set out to convince even one person to get a colonoscopy by doing this colonoscopy party, and everybody thought we were nuts, but you know, that's who we are. I mean, we just put it out there, and then of course, you know, 2 years later, here I am diagnosed with rectal cancer. So, you know, it's one
of
those.
Can I call you Juicy Toots? So I want to cycle back to when we wrote the book Courageous Money. It was all about helping people learn to talk about money because money is a taboo topic. And I didn't realize how much colorectal cancer is also a taboo topic. And so kind of the parallels of us doing this to be able to help other people just to learn to be able to talk about this. And I think I was surprised at how just open you were with using these terms. And because I probably would have had those stigmas, but you just kind of paved the way. It's like, yep, I have colorectal cancer. You know, it's going to take your breath away when I tell you this. And it is shocking to hear it and to tell people.
Well, if you'll recall, I was much more comfortable with the word lesbian before you were too, so.
Yeah, well, there was that whole coming out, you know, coming out with cancer, coming out as being gay, you know, coming out of being able to talk about money, you know, these are all the coming out parties of the years,
well,
you know.
And I actually said that, you remember I said, what's harder than telling your family you're gay?
Telling
cancer, telling them you have cancer. Yeah. And so, you know, and it is, it's really scary. And so we're on this crazy roller coaster and a shitstorm journey. And it's only been 3 months. We're already knee deep in treatment. I mean, this train has left the station, and it's the fast train. And we're certainly hoping that it's the fast train to a cure. We're adding, you know, humor in our lives. I'm doing a lot of inner work, and we'll talk about that in some future podcasts.
You do look very sexy in your always depends.
in my always
depends. And again, something that you were like, I am never wearing those things, is like, oh, thank gosh, these things are available and they're comfortable and whatever.
Exactly.
Anyway, so the stigmas that go with this.
It really is.
I would like to take a moment and I want you to explain your logo, your dinosaur.
Oh, so I created a little logo, and it says I'm fighting and farting sparkles. And even the thought, right? The word fart. I use the word fart, and it's this little dinosaur, it's not a dinosaur, it's a dragon. And because I somebody had something out on a site, and I was looking for stickers. I was looking for cancer gear that would make me feel better about going through this whole process, because I wanted to be able to laugh. And somebody had like a unicorn, and I'm like, I'm not really the unicorn, but I am the dragon. Like I can totally relate to the dragon. So there's this cute girly dragon, and it says fighting and farting sparkles, you know, rectal cancer survivor or rectal cancer warrior. And you know, she's got a little rectal cancer, which is the dark blue ribbon on her butt. And she's tooting these sparkles, and it actually says fuck cancer, coming out with the sparkles, and it's kind of fun. So we're actually tracking my journey and really the details of my medical journey. You know, think lots of poop jokes on Caring Bridge, and you can find that. It's available in our link in bio if you're interested in following our journey there. We'll also be sharing on social media, so that logo will show up on our Instagram and our Facebook at some point.
Now that you've done your coming out party,
if it hasn't already, yes, this is my coming out party, my C word coming out party.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the thing about the stigma, you know, I just want to go back to that for a moment, because I just feel like if you and I can talk about this and make other people comfortable with it, that's awesome. But then there's also the piece of, you know, we really want to be able to have, you know, care partners like you, doc, trying to, you know, understand, you know, how do you navigate all this? And we also want to point out that while our podcast is still going to be varied and there's going to be lots of different topics, we will be discussing cancer as a topic from time to time, and it's certainly going to come up in our conversation. So, you know, the podcast is not going to be taken over by cancer, but we are going to talk about it. And so, you know, we do want to destigmatize not just the word cancer, but specifically rectal cancer, colorectal cancer, anal cancer, and these cancer words that are just really scary to people. And I will share, you know, rectal cancer is more aggressive, and so it is treated very differently than just your standard colon cancer. Right now I think it's the second most prevalent cancer that causes death in the United States. So I don't plan on going there. In fact, I plan on being around for the next 50 years just to be a pain in everybody's butt, not just mine. But
we're looking forward to that. But
that's where it's at.
And one of the things we do is we encourage our friends and family to visualize you being a part of their lives many years to come. You know, not just getting through this part of the curing phase of it, but to visualize, you know, you having a glass of wine or a beer or something on, you know, out on a vacation or whatever.
On my 103rd birthday.
There you go. Yeah. Having a big piece of cake or whatever it is. To visualize you a part of their life in the future.
Absolutely.
And that way it's an uplifting thing. And the other thing that we decided in the house is to not use the word, I'm sorry. Because it's amazing how many times you can say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that you have this. I'm sorry you're going through this. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry you feel like crap today after chemo.
Yeah, and you could say it to me 100 times
over. I'm sorry you have to go get my water for me and heat it up in the microwave. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a million times that you could say, I'm sorry going through this process. So we've decided to not use I'm sorry. And so we said you could say anything else instead. No, some explicits come to mind, but you know,
one of us is really good at exercising her use of the F word, and so it gets used regularly in place of I'm sorry
or that sucks.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, that sucks. Can you get my water heated up for me? And I'm like, yeah. So it makes us laugh as we, you know, as we figure out how to navigate. I'm sorry turns into that sucks.
I also say shit a lot, which is really appropriate for this situation because, you know, it's a pretty shitty situation to start with. So, you know, the other thing I think that's really important to talk about is, you know, what if you're a friend and you and I have had many friends who have had cancer, too many. Friends who have had cancer and friends who have passed from cancer way too young. And of course, now we're realizing how much cancer is out there. It's horrifying how much there is. But if you're a friend or a family member of somebody who has cancer, I think it's important to know, how do you respond, right? Because pity isn't what we want. Like, I don't want your pity. I want your empathy. I want your compassion. I want your, I might need to borrow your strength and your faith from time to time. I want your prayers. I want your good juju. I want your good vibes. I want your visualizations that I'm going to be thriving in 50 years. I don't want your pity.
All that positive energy you're looking for.
Right. And as you mentioned, and this is the I'm sorry thing, right? The first thing everybody says is, I'm sorry. And it's okay to say that. It's also okay to say that really fucking sucks. And you know, and it might actually make somebody laugh because that's what you're really thinking, right? And so, you know, words of encouragement, just, you know, kindness, texts. You know, one of the reasons why we started the Caring Bridge site was because we are blessed with more, we've always said we're blessed with more friends than we have time. And we knew that there would be so many wonderful, wonderful, kind people who are rallying around me, and they are. But yet we also knew that as care partner, Amy wasn't going to be able to field all the questions. How's she doing? How's she feeling? How's she today? Et cetera, et cetera. So we actually started the Caring Bridge site because we wanted to be able to keep everybody informed without Amy having to be the point person to answer every single person.
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, so when you're a friend of somebody who has cancer, you know, it's always okay to say, what can I do? And it's always okay to say, it's okay to send me a text and say, hey, I'm just thinking about you today, sending you some good juju or sending you a prayer. I love that. Really is uplifting, especially on the chemo days, because after chemo, I have about 5 days that suck really bad. And then things get better and I crawl out of a hole and I go through a really great week and then I get to do it all over again. And so, and I'll have 6 to 8 rounds of chemo total. And so it's just about, I don't know, I feel like I'm rambling, but it's about, you know, maybe not always checking in with how are you, but checking in with, hey, I'm thinking about you today. And then yeah. Caring Bridge is a great option. And yeah. we actually started 20 years ago when Amy and I first got together, her ex-husband got very critically ill and we became his caregivers in the hospital for about 12 weeks time. And at the time, this was like, you know, before websites were a really prevalent thing, and I was actually pretty skilled at technology, and we actually had a business website parked that we were ready to start creating, and I actually used that parking lot website to update it every day on Bob's progress.
It was like the care and feeding of Bob.
Right.
Schedules took him
help,
and then the updates there.
Right.
I know, it sounds crude right now, but it was, and because he needed help.
He did, and we needed help because we couldn't
be
there
24/7. We actually had our camper in the hospital parking lot for many weeks trying to go in because he couldn't feed himself.
We did.
So for us to go in and help him with every bite, every meal, and then it's like, oh, we need help.
So. And so it's fascinating that 20 years later there's Caring Bridge, and I remember at the time you and I talked about we should do something like this for families.
We had to create something, yeah.
But we were too busy and had too many other things on our plate, and you know, we didn't, as always, you know, we're always ahead of our time with our vision, but we had too many things on our plate and too many things to do. So all I have to say is I am so very grateful that caringbridge.org exists and that they provide these sites for free to families for any type of illness. Doesn't have to be cancer. It can be any type of illness. And you can keep your family and your friends in the loop on your story. You can even make your story public if you choose to. It's a really wonderful resource. So, you know, if you're looking for places to donate or offer some philanthropy this next year, caringbridge.org is a really cool organization providing some really great services for people like us right now.
And I'll end on it. That's a great insight. And then this isn't a really a promotion for CaringBridge. This is just to let you know how
CaringBridge is giving nothing to us but a free site like they do everybody else.
Absolutely. But it is just really an endorsement to how wonderful it is to have that, because I wouldn't want to be providing these updates every day to everybody that's asking, because you have so many people that are so concerned about you and want to be, you know, want you to know they're thinking of you and their positive energy and all that great stuff. The other thing that really stood out to me is, if you know somebody going through the cancer treatment and they live alone, they don't have that caring partner.
Wow,
I can't imagine that either. And so to not only be the one to help take them to the appointments, but don't just drop them off at home, making sure that they have things,
what they need. And food, even
for
if it's
a day or two, because literally, you can't get off the couch for 2 days, three, 4 days.
Sometimes three.
Day four is yuck day. And so, making sure that you have applesauce in the house and just animal crackers.
Protein shakes. And
protein
everybody's
shakes, boost shakes. And everybody's different, right?
Everybody is different.
And all cancer treatments are different.
And chemo affects people differently. Like, there's a lot of things that I can't eat and I can't smell. But, if that person has a partner or a spouse, you know, make them dinner and take it over to their house.
Right, and or making sure that there's toilet paper in the bathroom that's already on the roll, because the energy that it would take for you to get another roll of toilet paper and get it on the thing is horrendous.
Right.
And so just really stepping in, use your intuition of how can I help this person when they can't ask for the help that they need, but you can see that there's a way that you can help a little bit more.
Absolutely, because certainly during chemo weeks, like, I would not be able to make my own meals, and I've already thought a million times, I don't know how people with families, the young kids that they have to take care of go through this. I don't know how single parents go through this by themselves. I don't know how, Amy and I have the luxury of not only, working from home, but such flexible schedules. And, Amy thankfully is very strong and capable and thankfully at the moment I'm pretty resilient.
But I can plow the driveway and get the chains on the vehicle to get to our appointments,
Because again, we live out in the middle of nowhere. And so I think those things are so important to recognize that, I recognize how blessed I am, to have you in my life and to have so many other people in my life right now who are praying for me. Like, every week we're on people's prayer lists and, we send out a CaringBridge post on chemo days and we get just a flood of love. And I feel it. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm sitting in chemo. Sorry, I'm going to get a little emotional. And I can feel the love coming to me from all these wonderful people. And I want everybody who has cancer to have that same gift, right? And speaking of gifts, we've just been so blessed. It's easy to have, to get down on the bad days, but we've been so blessed. We've had so many people just kind of come out of the woodwork and offer, services. I have an amazing spiritual healer who's working with me, and she's doing it for free from the Netherlands, and she's just amazing. And we have, friends who are, nurses.
And somebody sent us soup.
Yes.
And a blanket. Oh, just a warm, cozy blanket. And just
multiple
these
blankets, and just medical professionals who we know and love. And
cards.
And cards. And it's just the gifts that we've received as a result of this are just, it's such a blessing is all I can say. And so thank you to everybody for that. And that's just, it's just what every cancer patient deserves. And, there's just a lot of love that I feel, that we feel from everybody. So
no crying.
Yeah, no crying.
No crying, because during chemo weeks, there's acid tears. So I'm adding humor to the situation here, so that's it. Yeah. So that Cece doesn't get the acid tears. All right.
One of my chemo medications causes painful tears because it's got platinum in it. So I'm really hoping my chemo gives me superpowers in the end. That's really what I'm hoping for, is I can put on that,
You know, that laser beams coming out of your
eyes. I'm going to put on my superhero outfit and just, you know, save the world after this. I don't know.
And you are going to be farting sparkles.
And act world peace. Yep, and I'm going to be farting sparkles the whole time.
Yeah, and it's easy to be somebody's caretaker if you love them. And if you love them so much, just find ways to provide that love. So on that note, thank you for your time.
And I'm grateful to have that. Yeah, thank you.
And this fucking sucks that we're going through this.
It does. And I will say, one of the things that we are doing is we have started a gratitude journal. And I know that sounds cliche, but I'll tell you what, every on the day. Bad days, that gratitude journal saves my ass. Even if on a bad day, I have to say, I'm grateful I was able to drink a protein shake today. And I'm not always a fan of protein shakes, so that's a big deal. If I can be grateful for something on the bad days, it really helps. It really does.
I'm grateful that I can feel my pinky toe today.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So, we thank you. We love you. Keep following us on our podcast journey and be well and healthy. Be healthy.
Get your colonoscopy.
Yeah. Amen. Thanks for tuning in to Cece and Doc Talk. We'd love for you to follow us on social media at Cece and Doc. That's CCNDOC. And you can visit our website at ccanddoc.com. We also take monthly donations to support this broadcast if you're so inclined. We'd love to hear your comments, suggestions, and questions, and we'll do our best to respond. Thanks, and have a fantabulous day.